You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys hit that like button down below and subscribe for more pretty average mediocre content. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio and from your mom's diary is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am wonderful, Paul. How are you? How does it feel to be back on the mainland?
Back on the mainland, home from Hawaii after a wonderful vacation. It sucks. I don't want to be back in New York. I missed earthquakes. There was an eclipse when we got back, and the Mets are doing well. So it's like all the signs of the apocalypse.
There you go.
I thought you'd appreciate
that. You guys just got to go on vacation more, because then just shit will just happen here.
I know, right? We could have done an MF Uncensored just on natural disasters that whole week. By the way, like, comment, subscribe, MF Uncensored. But anyway, so we are back, and we wanted to find a nice little piece of nostalgic history and something that was rebooted and then redone and is still in the zeitgeist of people. Like, it's still around. It's a show people know of, and they know the theme song almost immediately. And ironically, we just started watching the Ted series because we stole somebody's Peacock. Don't worry about it. And they actually referenced the A-Team on the show. And I just spoiled it. We're going to be talking about the movie version of the A-Team, released in 2010, starring Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper. I can't ever say his name. I'm going to ruin it.
Sharko Copeland.
Okay. Patrick Wilson, Quentin Jackson, and Jessica Biel. So, Sean, really quick, initial thoughts. We have not seen much of the A-Team TV show. I think my first real knowledge of the A-Team, ironically enough, came from the show Family Guy in the episode where they are the A-Team. And that's
with the actual black guy.
With the actual black guy, yes. That's the only reason they won the contest. So it reminds me of the Big Bang Theory when they go to a party at the comic book store and they only win the Justice League costume contest because they're the only ones with an actual girl.
Oh, yes. Penny is Wonder Woman.
Penny is Wonder Woman. Oh, that's a great episode.
First thoughts of A-Team, fun, enjoyable, a good, 2 hours of just over-the-top action. Nothing to write home about. It was just, it kind of came out at that right time. It was during Liam Neeson's real resurgence into the action genre. So I think this is after Taken, the first Taken. So he is already back into the mainstream media with, that movie. And then Bradley Cooper, I mean, this is probably his real first big movie after Wedding Crashers. No, that can't be right. This is before Hangover, I believe.
I would have to check that. I want to say it was after the first Hangover, actually. If
it's possibly, yes. Yep, you are correct. Hangover was 2009. So this is after the huge success of Hangover. So this is kind of like his follow-up. And he hasn't really stopped since. He's really become a very good director, and he's a very good actor. So this movie was a pleasant surprise. Let's put it that way.
This was also right after District 9.
Bizarre. It was good, but I have not seen it since I saw it in theaters.
It is a shame that movie, they never came out with the sequel. I know that they're talking about it, and eventually they're saying it's going to happen, but yeah, it was right after that, because that was the first thing we ever saw him in. And then he's another one of those actors that's kind of like, he does a couple of things, and you're like, oh, it's that guy. But otherwise,
yeah, he
doesn't do a whole lot. And it's always hilarious, because he speaks Swahili, and they bring it up in
that's
this
right.
movie. It is probably one of the funniest scenes that they could have ever done. All right, so let's jump in. For those of you guys who are not familiar with the A-Team, the show takes place after four military veterans are dishonorably discharged, and they become mercenaries, like a team of mercenaries that, if you can find them and if you can pay them, like, they'll solve your problems. And that was the point of the show. The show followed these four mercenaries working together to solve people's problems, very much in the vein of things like The Equalizer and shows like that. It was a very 80s show. And
Very 80s formula. There was no continuation from episode to episode. Each episode was a different story. And then, you know, the next episode would take place, you know, like months later. It really, there was no continuity. Mm-hmm. It was just that, you know, we had that in the 80s. Like, as you said, The Equalizer, this, like Dukes of Hazzard, just these kind of shows just were coming up and stuff during that time. That were just fun genre pieces. They weren't meant to be really anything else.
Yeah,
they weren't set to break television. They weren't, you know, Hill Street Blues. They weren't L.A. Law, you know, stuff like that. It was just fun entertainment.
And I like fun entertainment. And this movie, this movie is fun entertainment. We'll jump right off the bat. Sean and I really enjoy this movie. And it's one of those movies that it did okay in terms of box office, but it never picked up steam afterwards. Like they definitely wanted to franchise this because this movie is a semi prequel to the show. It shows the formation of the A-Team, why they get dishonorably discharged, how they try and clear their names, and then it doesn't work out at the end. Spoiler alert. But this show, the movie would have led into something else. And you could definitely tell at the end that that's what they were leaning into. But it's still on its own merits. It's totally fine and it works. So let's go through the full cast before we, I know we kind of talked a little bit about them, but let's start with Liam Neeson as John Hannibal Smith. Now, at the beginning of the movie, only him and Face have any sort of partnership. Next. Yeah. And Liam Neeson, like Sean said, this was right after Taken. This was like the peak of action Liam Neeson. This is before Taken 2, where it just started to really wear thin, and way before Taken 3, which I tried to watch Taken 3. I couldn't do it.
This is after Taken, but it's before Taken 2, so it's right in that wheelhouse. I love it.
It's at the perfect time of Liam Neeson, because in all honesty, he's not throwing hands that much in this movie. He does, but it's a lot more gunplay on his part. Yeah. So it's not... It's funny, because you watch the first Taken is fantastic. I will argue that movie's merits till I'm blue in the face. It is a great movie, but you get to Taken 3 and they have to do so many jump cuts to show that it's not Liam Neeson's stunt double. Like, there's one that was pointed out to me that's like four cuts for him to just go over a fence. It's like, just so you don't see the stunt double, which is hilarious. So moving on, we have Bradley Cooper as Templeton Face Peck. Now, this is probably one of the biggest sticking points for fans of the original show. In the original show, Face wore disguises. That's why he was called Face. Like,
yeah, that was like the one thing for some reason they just did not stick with that. But again, I think with the story that they were creating here, they just didn't get to that part of the character. You would assume that if they had done more movies that, you know, you would have seen that part of him, but
which bothers me because they had the perfect opportunity. They put two other characters in disguise. Like,
that's true.
To get through the airport security. And as somebody who just went through airport security, it's never that easy.
Maybe they just deemed it wasn't that big of a thing. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. It's a good point. I didn't miss it, but I see what you're saying.
Going down. Now, this is also an order of billing. We have Jessica Biel as
You want a snapshot in time? That's Jessica Biel's in a movie. That's the snapshot right there.
Yeah.
I don't think she's done. I think she's starting to make a comeback because I think this came out like right around the time she and Timberlake just got married or was about to get married. So like she probably was creating, you know.
I think the only other films, the only films that I really remember her in are this one, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, Blade Trinity, unfortunately. And then I don't think I ever saw any of her other like romantic comedy type movies, but she did this in 2010 along with Valentine's Day in 2010. Remember when they were trying to push that genre where it was like the holiday? It like New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, like, and it was all these big ensemble casts. It was a very strange time in the movies in the early 2010s. She did like 1, 2, 3. Oh, she did Total Recall. That's right. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 movies since 2010. So she hasn't really been doing a whole lot. But again, she's also one of those actresses who she doesn't need to. She's a billionaire. Like, it's like Jessica Alba. Jessica Alba made more money getting out of acting and starting her own business than she ever did while acting, which good for her. Yeah. Like, because as much as I love Jessica Alba, she was not a great actress. Like, she.
Well, I actually think Jessica Biel is not a bad actress. I mean, I've seen her in a couple things. She does a decent job. But, you know, again, she just hasn't been, I guess, as keen on being in. She's, well, let's rephrase that. She hasn't been in like the big movies. Like she's lately been doing a lot of these smaller movies.
Yeah.
She
And
had
now,
a streak here with these few movies where they were like the big, you know, budget stuff like that. And she's really kind of gone a little more down to the smaller stuff since then.
yeah. Moving down, we have Quentin Rampage Jackson as Bosco B.A. Baracus. Now, I liked him in this movie, and I liked the character in this movie.
I did too. That was going to be the toughest role to cast because, I mean, how do you replace Mr. T? I mean, Mr. T is a cultural like icon of the 80s. And
Oh
to
yeah.
this day, you know, everybody knows who Mr. T is, whether it's from the A-Team or from Rocky III. But that was going to me, that was going to be. And also, like, do you get somebody who is copying Mr. T? And, you know, he has his moments where he kind of tries to be Mr. T, but for the most part, he kind of brings the character, you know, a little more realism, in my opinion.
The
And
only time,
I
yeah.
thought he did a good job.
The only time he kind of goes over the top is when he's scared, which is fine, and it's funny,
Yeah.
and it works. But otherwise, he's very soft-spoken in this. And I actually like they played against the whole Mr. T type with this, where he like after they we'll go through the plot in a minute, but when he's reintroduced in the second half of the movie, he's a pacifist and he doesn't want to hurt
Yeah.
anybody. And it's interesting. It's definitely a very interesting take on B.A. Baracus. And I think they actually For if they're going to change something in the show, but then bring it back to where it was, I think that was a good way to do it. All right, we have Charlto Copley as Howling Mad Murdoch, and
He steals the movie.
he steals the movie. Just the very first scene that he's in when he's trying to escape the hospital, like he sets the tone. And I will never not laugh at when he's hanging on to the helicopter blades and he's spinning around and he's singing "You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round." It's still one of my favorite things, and I really enjoy him. And again, he's one of those actors that I wish did more.
Yeah, he. This was again. This was at, you know, right after District 9, so he was widely known for that. And he, I mean, he kind of came out of left field. I mean, I don't think he was even really considered an actor. And like he was like best friends with the director of District 9, and you know, this kind of was his first foray into a big budget movie, and he doesn't disappoint. I mean, he really just is over the top funny. I mean, I always loved when the trailer first dropped, and you had the scene of them in the plane. And he just goes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you look out the left side of the aircraft, you will see that the wing is on fire. It's just, it's like his delivery is just really funny. And, you know, he does a, I mean, he really was a solid find for this movie.
Absolutely. Going down, we have Patrick Wilson as Agent Lynch, the quote unquote bad guy of this movie. This was right after, I want to say it was pretty close after Watchmen,
Watch
which
me.
is the first movie that I remember seeing him in. Yeah, Watchmen was 2009 and this was 2010. So yeah, like literally, I remember seeing him in, and he is physically different in this movie because in Watchmen the character is heavier and that's part of the character. So he put on a ton of weight to play Night Owl in that, and then he's like super lean. And I really like Patrick Wilson. We just watched Aquaman, the new one, and him and Jason Momoa together make the movie so much better, even though it's still pretty bad. But yeah, he's one of those guys that can do comedy and he can do serious. And in this movie, he gets to do both, which makes it work.
He
Like
does.
the scene where they're in the car and he's like, "Oh, that looks just like Call of Duty." I was like, "That guy kills people for a living." But
Yeah, he definitely plays it. He like Charlto Copley, he plays it over the top, just as a guy who just doesn't care the carnage he's causing or the suffering he's causing. He's clearly in it for himself, but just he has that confident, you know, feel to him, and he just kind of, you know, from the minute you see him, like, oh, this guy is Trump.
yeah, and apparently the character of Lynch was in the original show, but he was a military colonel, and he was the one that was in charge of the stockade where the team escaped from. So he's like the bad guy. He's chasing them throughout the entire first season, and then supposedly he's still chasing them in the second season, but you don't see him. But in this movie, the title of Lynch is it's a title. It's not an actual name, and it's a
Yeah.
CIA moniker. And guess who plays the other Lynch? John Hamm. What a random
It
cameo.
is a random cameo because it's right during Mad Men, and he really hadn't, I don't think he really had stepped out to really be in movies yet. I think he was still big on TV at the time. But I remember it was like, oh, that's It's random. Okay. John Hamm. Cool.
And then the only two, we have two more. Brian Bloom as Brock Pike. He's like a mercenary. He's the leader of a mercenary team that outsources with the military. So they're not actually military, but they work with the military, which, you know, is actually a common thing. But he's the face of the bad guy at first. Yeah. Like he's one of those characters that, you know, he's a bad guy when you first meet him. Like, I forget.
Yeah. He's clearly in it. You know, you clearly see the antagonist between him and Liam Neeson and Bradley Cooper. And you know that at some point this guy is going to be, you know, causing trouble for them.
It's like the scene in Avengers Endgame when they go back in time and Crossbones and all the guys come upstairs to get the scepter. And mm-hmm. Ant-Man's like, I mean, they look like bad guys. And that's literally what it is. As soon as you meet them, you know that they're going to be antagonists. But then the twist of it is with Gerald McRaney's character of General Morrison, who is on the side of them and like he's helping them in the beginning. You can tell they have a long history. And then it turns out that he's the bad guy, like the main mastermind yeah. in all this. And it's a solid cast. That's the real main cast. I mean, there's a couple of others, but in all honesty, like nobody whose character I could tell you isn't who they are in the film. But the movie starts off with Hannibal Smith is trying to, it starts off with a torture scene and he's got to go save Face, who, and again, they do a great job of establishing exactly who these characters are just in the first couple of minutes. And Face is captured after he, you know, slept with some drug boss's wife. And like, it's a fun time. The movie does.
It's introducing the characters really good because you see how clearly Hannibal Smith can solve a problem. He even says it in the beginning. He's like, if you give me, what is it? What do you say? If you give me an hour, I'm good. If you give me 10 hours, I'm great. If you give me 2 months, I'm unstoppable. Yeah. Like he knows he's good. And so, Face goes against what he wanted to do. And you see the little, you know,
back and forth, yeah.
frustration that Smith has with him at the beginning there.
But I think it was a smart move for them to establish the four characters in the opening scene. This is before the credits really even roll.
That's and true.
It was much smarter than trying to make a whole movie out of the four of them getting together to work together. I think this was a much smarter way. Because then after they all get together through a series of terrible coincidence and happenstance, you know, BA's just getting his truck or his van and he's leaving. They had balls to destroy the van in the very beginning.
That was.
Because Murdoch knocks off over the air conditioner.
You're not supposed to park there. That's a handicap zone.
My God, but I will kill you, fool. He did the fools actually pretty well. They were very underplayed and they worked better, yeah. I think. But so yeah, it's a series of coincidence. Even though Hannibal says, I don't believe in coincidence. Hannibal ends up carjacking B.A. Baracus, finds out that he's a ranger. And he's like, hey, let's work together. And B.A.'s like, yeah, rangers. So they go and they rescue Face in an incredibly awkward way, you know. And again, that's the one thing about this movie. You have to turn off your sense of realism, especially for the last act. But they make it to a hospital to find a military hospital to find a pilot. And they get Howling Mad Murdoch, and he's trying to escape at the time. He's dressed like a doctor. So he ends up stitching up. Who is it? He stitches
a lightning bolt. Did you wear a lightning bolt?
I'm going to kill this fool. But they
you smell like gasoline, and he just lights Bradley Cooper on fire.
Oh, it was gasoline. Yeah. So they all get together. They manage to escape, and the movie jumps forward 8 years. I think it was a smarter move. And basically, they get set up to go on this mission to retrieve money plates that the U.S. government had lended to. What was it? I don't even remember that part. But they wanted to get these money plates and bring them back. And they get framed for the not only for the murder of General Morrison, but also for stealing the plates and stealing the money. And we're not going to go too in depth because in all honesty, it's a lot of that. It's basically them just trying to get the plates back and prove their innocence. And they also have. And we have Lynch in the beginning who's like, hey, I'm just trying to help, man. Like, let me get in on this. And he's a bad guy working with the other bad guys. And then you have Carissa Sosa, who plays the good cop trying to like catch them because she's also Face's ex-girlfriend, of course. And I'm not gonna lie, the one scene that makes me laugh a lot is when she thinks that they're all still in the tent, or no, the her two like partners think that they're still in the tent, and she goes in and it's like a bunch of like rookies And he's like, they gave us each $50. And then he points to the one guy who shaved his head. He's like, they gave me 100. She's like, oh, they give you 100? Did they? And I don't know why. It just makes me like just laugh. But the movie does end though with them. I don't want to say clearing their names, but they prove their innocence, but they don't clear their names. They're still fugitives. They still escape. Fun fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but legally, it is still a crime to escape a federal prison, even if you're later found out to be innocent. So, like
Oh.
Harrison Ford's character in The Fugitive technically should have gone back to jail for escaping jail custody.
That was extenuating circumstances. A train hit his boss.
You're extenuating circumstances, but nice legal jargon. You've been watching Law and Order again, haven't you? So,
More like Perry Mason.
this movie comes out and we enjoy it. Unfortunately, a couple of things were playing against it. One, the last act is it's a little tough to follow. Like
Ridiculous.
it's
Ridiculous.
over the top. So basically, Face is in charge of planning the last mission, and there's no way it should have worked under any circumstances, especially once they started blowing up the containers. Under no circumstances should any of that had actually worked. But it does. And they managed to, like, Lynch gets arrested. They're like, hey, you guys are
Like
cool.
gets killed. That was a great scene though, when BA gains back his momentum and he kills Pike. That was a badass scene. I really was.
Yeah. So like it ends on that, but the military still arrests them again for escaping federal prison, which, in all honesty, had they just gone back, they probably would have gotten time served. But no, they got to escape again because we need a sequel. But anyway, so the movie, like I said, it's a little, the plot, the script is a little disjointed and the ending is a little hard to follow. In fact, I think Liam Neeson like did an interview where he was like, I had no clue what was going on for most of this. And like he tried to like rewatch it and he was just like, eh. But
I
also,
love the tank. The tank scene is, I think, the best.
oh, when they're falling out of the
Trying to fly that. Are they trying to fly that tank?
No, even better, they're like, what are they shooting at? They're trying to fly that tank because she knows what they're trying to do, and that's what they're famous for like these wild type of like stupid crazy missions. But originally all four of them wanted to do a sequel, and Joe Carahan expressed an interest in directing a sequel, and Cooper stated that the film had not been it didn't make enough money, even though it did all right on a budget of about 110. I want to say pulled in 170, so like that's not bad.
Not
It's
bad, but that's tough. That's tough when you only make 60 million.
yeah,
That's, but
and
I
like,
feel like movies have made sequels, and I guess it didn't get a life. Yeah, in 2009, you're kind of that you're still in the Blu-ray, you're still in the home video era, but I guess it just didn't really gain any steam after its run in theaters. So
and
I
also.
feel like for a solid 2 to 3 years we kept hearing about it. And then finally just kind of vanished.
Yeah, and also weird coincidence, at almost the exact same time the movie The Losers came out, which is the exact same freaking movie. I hate to say it. I love The Losers. Like we saw that in theaters. I remember The Losers was right as they announced Chris Evans as Captain America, and we were like, "What?" But The Losers and The A-Team were in spirit very much the same movie. The Losers was just the R-rated version, and like even the characters were pretty similar. Like it come on, it's a band of mercenaries who get burned and framed and they have to go into hiding and they have to clear their name, and then yeah, it's the same movie. I'm sorry. Like,
But this, of course, this movie had obviously it was the fans of the show. They were aiming at the fans of the show, and then you were getting big name stars in it. You have Liam Neeson and then Bradley Cooper. You were just all the box office, and just it didn't work fully, but. Again, it's a likable movie. It's a movie that I think if you watch it, you give it a shot, you'll enjoy it. I'm not saying you're going to want to watch it all the time, but yeah, it's definitely worth seeing once in your life.
so Star City rating for the A-Team.
I give it a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. I can get behind a 3 out of 5. I think it's a good movie. It's enjoyable. I have a good time with it. And like if it's on, I'll throw it on, but I'm never going to go out of my way to be like, I gotta watch the A-Team. That's if I'm gonna watch the A-Team, if I'm suddenly going, hey, I should really watch the A-Team, I'm going to try and watch the show, I think. But that's
Yeah,
just me. It's just a pretty face.
I
But
hear you.
But we want to hear what you guys have to say. If you guys are watching on YouTube, leave a comment down below and let us know, what do you guys think about the A-Team? Is it better than The Losers? Is it a good TV adaptation? We'd love to hear a little bit more. If you guys are looking for more of our content, it's super easy. You can go to our Facebook page, Cinematic Adventures. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to all of our other shows, including MF Uncensored and the Multiverse Fancast. But I think that's going to wrap us up. Oh, we're also on every social media, so make sure Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all that stuff. Find our page, like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. It really helps the show grow. In fact, our episode on Quiet on the Set is our highest downloaded episode with over 30,000 views on YouTube, which has been awesome. So if you guys are listening from
thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you.
And
it's a tough episode to hear, but I appreciate everybody giving it a shot.
Yeah, and we're also going to probably do a follow-up now that the fifth episode got released, because I'm sure there's going to be more. But I think that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
No fan feedback Friday.
No fan feedback. Oh, wait. Do I have... No feedback Friday. Unfortunately, Facebook is giving me a little bit of trouble, but it's not letting me log Facebook. On. Shut up. Don't say that too loud. He might be listening.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'm that's... Oh, hi, Mark. Oh, you've never seen The Room. You suck. But anyway, that's going to wrap us up. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And I'll see you guys next time.